We're very familiar with the journeys of the children of Israel in the wilderness. We know there are many lessons in the story of their wanderings, where God tested them for 40 years, 40 years in the wilderness. And as we read through the accounts, we find the lessons for us are very comforting, actually, and encouraging, even though they also contain warning for us that we remember what happened to those who lost faith in God and did not enter into the promised land. The experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness shows us that God is always going to take care of his people. We see many parallels in their story for us today. And the Exodus is actually the pivotal event in the Old Testament for the people of God. The pivotal event that freed Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And you can liken it, it is like the pivotal event in the New Testament, which is our exodus from sin and bondage of slavery through the death of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to look at one chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So if you would please start turning there. We're going to go through this chapter, and we'll go to a few other places as well, but we'll keep coming back here, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and focus here and pull the lessons out of this chapter for us. These 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness was a test. God was testing them for that length of time. And we could look at our own lives and see that we are also in a wilderness. We're in the wilderness of this world, and God is testing us. He wants to see what we will do. He wants to see what's in our hearts. And the reason for our testing, as it was also for the children of Israel, was for their perfection. God wanted to perfect them and prepare them to enter the promised land. It was for their good that he tested them in the wilderness, brought them through that wilderness to bring them into the promised land. Well, he's testing us, and he's bringing us through this wilderness of this life to bring us to the kingdom of God. Let's read now in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. We'll start here and read the first couple of verses here. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful always to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The title of the sermon today is Testing in the Wilderness. And the purpose of it is to apply the lessons of Israel's wilderness test to ourselves. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, as I always like to preface when I talk about Deuteronomy or go into some length, is written by Moses in the last 30 days or last month of his life. The children of Israel had come right up to the edge of the promised land. And Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy, or the words that are written here were given through Moses in the last month of his life as Israel is about to go in and enter. And the title of Deuteronomy really means the second telling of the law. So this is pretty much like Moses's last message to Israel. And so it bears a lot of weight. As God told Israel here in verse 1, we must keep his commandments. And this means we keep them in their fullness. That means to every thought and intent of the heart, we apply God's law to ourselves. It also means that we don't give up, we don't slack off from keeping his commandments. As he says, you must be careful to observe every commandment I command you today. And there will be temptation for us in our wilderness journey through this life to let down at every turn. The world is full of temptation. The world is just out there waiting for us. If we want to go there and become part of it, the world will welcome us with open arms if we want to. We can become a part of it and enjoy the things of this world, but where God wants us to look is to his commandments. He wants us to be diligent and steadfast. And when we're doing that, keeping that diligence and steadfastness, something happens to our lives. Something starts taking place. The character of God begins to form in us as we make decisions according to God's law, as we start thinking according to God's law, and we start seeing the fruits of righteousness develop in our lives. His own character, the character of God, begins to emerge. During their wilderness wandering, God warned Israel not to go after other gods, or they would destroy themselves. And the warning applies to us. If we go after other gods, go into the world, fall back, leave off, slacken, we will destroy ourselves if we're not keeping God's commandments with all of our heart and strength. Every commandment, he says, be careful to observe that you may live. God's commandments are for our good. And by learning to obey his commandments in the wilderness, Israel was being prepared to go in to the promised land. And by being perfected in this life, by keeping God's commandments through their fullest extent, living a life according to his law with the help of his Spirit, we're being prepared to inherit our promised land, the kingdom of God. Now, 40 years is a long time, and in the scriptures, 40 symbolizes a time of trial, a time of testing. Several examples in the life of Moses you could look at. The first 40 years of his life, he was in Pharaoh's household, where he lived and grew up as a member of the household, and he came to that point where he saw the affliction or the oppression of his own people. And you remember the story where he killed an Egyptian and he had to flee from Pharaoh to get out. And for the next 40 years of his life was another period of trial and testing where he was in the wilderness on his own, where he met his father-in-law and married his wife. And then the last 40 years of his life, he was with the children of Israel, going through the wilderness. Jesus Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and being tempted by Satan just before his ministry began. And 40 years here for the children of Israel really represents a lifetime. It's really a whole generation. It's the length of a generation, 40 years. God tested them to see if they were ready to go in to that promised land. But we know because of unbelief, many of them did not. Many of them, most all of them died in the wilderness and did not enter. The generation that left Egypt that was 20 years and older, they died in the wilderness except for two, Joshua and Caleb. But a new generation came up, their children, and they learned how to keep the commandments of God. They learned to be careful to observe every commandment that God gave them. And they were prepared to go into the promised land. Now, God had led them all through this 40 years with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So I'll make some points here in this sermon, and that'll be the first one. He will always be with you, as he was with the children of Israel by that cloud by day and fire by night. He was always there. His presence was apparent to them. So keep your place here in Deuteronomy 8, and we'll come over to Exodus 40, which is the last chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus 40. And the last few verses of the last chapter of the book of Exodus. And we'll read about the cloud of that led by day and the fire by night. Verse 36, beginning in verse 36. Whenever, the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. The tabernacle in the wilderness there, that where God met Moses, that cloud was over that. And then when that cloud rose, the children of Israel would go onward, move on. But if the cloud, verse 37, was not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. And for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And so God never left them, and his presence was visible to them. How can we apply that to ourselves? How does this apply where we see in our lives where we have the Spirit of God, which Christ said at his last Passover, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That Spirit will be with us. That's John 14, verse 18. I will come to you. I will be with you. Another verse that I really like to use when I write prayer cards sometimes is Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says. I will never leave you or forsake you. So he was with the children of Israel all through those 40 years with the pillar of cloud and fire, never leaving them or forsaking them. And we could see in our lives the same, that God does not leave us. Does not leave us at all. He's always with us. And he also kept the children of Israel on the move. He kept them going from place to place. As we go through this wilderness, we're not putting down roots here. This is not our home. The world is not our home. We're going to another world, to another place, which is the kingdom of God. We're not setting down roots. Now let's look at this. Also in Numbers 33, come over to Numbers 33, and we'll see all the journeys of the children of Israel listed. Moses was commanded by God to write down all the places they went. Let's read it here, a couple of verses here, Numbers 33, starting in verse 1. Now, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And now, verse 2, Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are the journeys according to the starting points. So he starts listing them here. We won't go through the whole chapter, just a couple of verses here. So verse 3 says, they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, which is, we know, the first day of unleavened bread. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. That was after the plague of the firstborn. And they went out. And then Moses lists place after place after place after place they went to. Now, I started to count all those places, and I'm wondering, well, how many were there? And then I thought, well, there's an easier way. I'll Google it. And there are 42. 42 places. 42 places in 40 years. 40 years. That's approximately 1 year per place on the average. They went through all those places. And then they came to, now let's go to verse 48. They came to the end of their journeys. Verse 48 of Numbers 33. And then they departed from the mountains of Abiram and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. They camped there by the Jordan from Beth Jesimoth as far as the Abel Acacia Grove in the plains of Moab. So right across from Jericho is where they made their last camp. They crossed the Jordan from the plains of Moab. It was very unfortunate, though, right at the end of their journey, many of the children of Israel were tempted and lured away into committing harlotry with the Moabite women. And because of that, there was a great plague in the camp, right there, right before they were to go in to the promised land, and thousands died in that plague. But the rest of them were ready to go in. The rest of them were prepared. And God kept them on the move, kept them going from place to place to place, as He keeps us going from place to place in our lives, in our wilderness journey, so that we're always looking to Him. We're not putting down roots here. We're looking to Him, and He's always with us. And we must keep our eyes on the goal, which is the kingdom of God. That's where we're going. As Christ said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33, a very familiar verse. We keep our eyes on that kingdom, and God takes care of us. All these things will be added to you. So that brings us to the second point. He will always take care of you in your wilderness journey. Let's go back now to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going back to our focus chapter for today, Deuteronomy 8, and can pick up here in verse number 3 now. Verse number 3. And so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, where do we hear that verse, or where do we read that verse elsewhere in the Scriptures? Well, of course, this is what Jesus Christ spoke in His temptation in the wilderness to Satan, who was trying to get Him to turn stones into bread. A 40-day temptation in the wilderness. So this verse, brethren, is pointing us directly to Jesus Christ. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God is going to provide our food. God fed them with physical food in the wilderness, manna which you did not know, or did your fathers know, He said. He also provides food for us. We're not going hungry. We're very full of good things. We're very blessed in that way. We have many blessings. And more than that, though, He gives us spiritual food in abundance. Great abundance of spiritual food that we need to eat every day. Remember the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. We need that food, that bread, that spiritual bread. Then He says in verse 4, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And so here they were, going through wearing 40-year-old clothes. And I was thinking about myself, and do I have any 40-year-old clothes? I don't. But I'm thinking, well, that was 1981, and what was I wearing in 1981? By that time, I think we were done with bell bottoms. I think that was the 70s. And 1981, I think it was a lot of jeans, but I don't have any of those jeans or clothes anymore. But they, after 40 years, they were wearing the same clothes. And I imagine it took a while for them to realize, hey, our clothes are not wearing out. Our shoes, they're the same shoes I left Egypt with. God took care of them for all of that wilderness wandering as he always takes care of us. He takes care. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, we know David wrote many of the psalms. He wrote one verse, I'll quote here. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I've never seen that. The righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And all of his life, David wrote that. He never saw that. That's Psalm 37, verse 25. Now, if you look at your life, brethren, I'm sure that you can find examples where God has taken care of your needs in ways that you didn't know how he was working it out, but he worked it out. I'd like to use an example of my wife and something that happened in her life that I thought was very touching. Shows how God is always taking care of our needs. And this was when she was married before to her first husband who died in the faith. And it was a lady in the church said, hey, I'd like to sell you some life insurance. She was an insurance agent. And Roy and Willa said, well, okay, yeah, come on over and we'll hear your spiel. And, well, they ended up buying a policy for $100,000. And 30 days later, Roy found out he had cancer. And 5 years later, he died. With that $100,000 policy, Willa was able to pay off the house when he died. And she always looks at that as God was watching out for her. As we heard in the sermonette, that God is watching out for the widows. And here she was. She was only able to work cleaning homes at that time. But her house was paid for, and she continued to raise her kids. That was a beautiful example that always impresses me, how God takes care of us, watches out for us, looks after our life. As we look to him, he works things out. And he leads us through this wilderness, like he led the Israelites through the wilderness, to perfect us into his image. He's going to take care of our needs. And he'll allow us to go through many difficulties. He humbled you, he says, allowed you to hunger. But he fed you, as verse 3 says. Life is going to be hard. We all know that. No one needs to tell us that. Life is hard, not easy. But no matter the difficulty, God is always going to be there, always taking care of us. The third point is, as we look at the wilderness wanderings of Israel and compare it to our lives in this wilderness, is that he is going to discipline you. God will discipline you. Verse 5, from Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. It can be painful sometimes, but we must endure chastening because it's always for our good. It comes through various people in our lives, various circumstances. It comes to us because God needs to reshape our thinking. However it comes, it's always for our good. And I'm sure you can quickly call to mind some of the great trials in your life, some of the hard ones. What was it? What was it that caused you great trouble? And how did God bring you through that? What lessons did you learn? I think we could all look back in our lives and say, yeah, I've had those moments where God has really shown me some things through the things that I endured. Sometimes it's an error in our thinking that might be really deeply engraved. We keep making the same mistake in our thinking, and God allows us to fail. God allows us to fail. But if we look to him for help, he's very merciful, abundantly merciful, to help us get us back on the track, get us back on the path. And all of this chastening that he does with us, as he did with them, was for their good. It is for us. It's to mold our character. God is a father to those who love him, and he will chasten us as his sons and daughters. So he will discipline you, as he did the children of Israel here these 40 years of wilderness wandering. There's a proverb that says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." He corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. That's Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. It's for our good, because God loves us, and he's preparing us. And by the end of those 40 years, the nation of Israel, as I said, they were ready. Those who remained, they were ready to go in and take the land. And he's preparing us to go in to the kingdom of God. "As many as I love," Jesus Christ said to his church, "I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." That's Revelation 3, verse 19, where Jesus Christ is talking to his church, the glorified Christ, is saying to his church, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." Because he loves you, he's chastening you. God will discipline you. Therefore, verse 6 now, what are we to do? How are we to become perfect? By loving God and keeping his commandments. Verse 6, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." And if you're doing that, and if you're striving to live God's way of life, God will show you where you're falling short. If you're doing that with all of your heart, strength, and mind, God's going to show you where you need to change your thinking, where you're falling short, what you need to do differently. And the fourth point, that he is preparing you for glory. It's really a point I've really already made, but I'll make it here again. He's preparing you for glory. Verse 7. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills." Now, what does this mean? What's the reference to the kingdom of God? Well, picture this in terms of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is represented by water in the scriptures. And this water in this good land is flowing everywhere. There's brooks of water, fountains and springs that flows out of the valleys and the hills. So God's painting a picture of the kingdom of God, where the Spirit of God will be everywhere. Now that Spirit is flowing in us. We have that Spirit flowing out from us, flowing into us. It will be, verse 8, where God is bringing you in this good land, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It was a land full of good things, as the kingdom of God will be. There will be food in abundance, but not just the physical. It will be spiritual food, no lack. And the knowledge of God will be everywhere. Everywhere. The Israelites, they would go into this land, and they would be able to get the minerals out of the ground. They would be able to dig into the ground and pull out the iron and the copper and the other minerals. This is a picture of the great spiritual wealth that is ours right now to dig up. We have the Word of God, and this is our mine, if you will. This is the ground that we dig in now. to find those spiritual gems, those spiritual, that spiritual wealth that's in here. We dig in. If we live then according to God's commandments, we're going to reap many benefits. Many benefits will come to our lives. Now think about what comes to your life because you keep God's commandments. I thought about it for this message, and I wrote down what I thought I could say were the benefits that I could list in a short list. Peace of mind. Peace of mind is one. For knowing God and loving His commandments, I have peace of mind even in trouble. Even when I'm going through the hard things, I can find peace. You know, I was preparing for this sermon last night. I was telling Jerry and Julie beforehand that they got another email. They usually get the email from me like Friday night at 9 or 10 o'clock. Here's the sermon. And then they put the PDF together for the scriptures for the webcast. Well, they got another one last night. They got that one, but they got another one at, like, I think it was around 4:30 or something like that, a.m. I went to sleep, had my sermon ready, but something was there that I thought, I need to look at this again. So I went downstairs and got up and I prayed. I got on my knees and asked God to help, and I found some peace of mind. Like, what I have, I know, because I'm keeping God's commandments and I'm doing His will, and I sense His Spirit leading me. And I went and made some adjustments to the message and sent him an updated version. There's the benefit that comes to all of us, a peace of mind, even in trouble, even when we're perplexed and having difficulty. We also have wisdom to deal with difficult problems and even difficult people. We have the wisdom of God, how to deal with hard issues. That's a benefit, a blessing that comes from keeping God's commandments. Sometimes they can be pretty tough, and they don't go away quickly sometimes, our problems and difficult people that we must deal with, but we have the wisdom from God how to deal with them. We also, I thought of this, one of the benefits that I came up with was that we understand how to deal with money. when we get paid, when we have the opportunity to tithe, we pay our tithe and pay our first tithe, and we save our second festival tithe, and we do that faithfully. And we see that we're being blessed in doing that. As time goes along, we see the blessings that come from having good financial stewardship of our money. God blesses us. Even though we set some aside, give some to Him and set some aside for the feast, it all works. And we see the blessings that come from it. Another one I thought was that we are able to take insults and not strike back, because we see God's greater purpose for man. And the one who is hurting us, we see they are made in the image of God. And God doesn't want us to strike back or hate. And we know how to deal with that when we take the hurt. And we know it's right to do that. When we look at ourselves and see that what we are doing is pleasing to God, when that sense comes to us that we are doing the right things, that is very, very deeply satisfying. To know that we are pleasing God as we sense His Spirit comforting us and showing us, leading us. And then for others to see the good in us, that is a blessing. When people say, I see the goodness in you, our lives fall into place in many ways. Everything kind of comes together when we're keeping God's way of life. Not always an easy road, it wasn't for the Israelites. It won't be for us in this wilderness as it wasn't for them in theirs. Well, all these blessings, I've enumerated some, I'm just on my own list there, and I know you can think of your own, how God has blessed you. They all come from God. And there's a blessing in knowing that too, knowing that these things do come from God, that we can acknowledge these good things in our lives. As James wrote, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow or variation or shadow of turning. That's James 1, verse 17. It's a blessing just to realize that. So all these good things, God wants us to note and take, and don't forget to keep his commandments. Because if we forget, if we start forgetting God and slacking off, we are going to be in trouble. What we must do is give God the glory and don't slacken in our efforts. Give him the glory for all that we have and don't slacken. Don't let up. Now let's continue on then in verse 10. And so when you have eaten, verse 10, in this land where you're going, and we're really partaking of those blessings now. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Even in this wilderness that we're in today, the wilderness of this world, we reap the benefits of being citizens of a coming kingdom of God. And we must keep ourselves separate, of course, from that world. If we start leaving off doing his commandments, slacking off, the blessings are going to cease. The blessings will stop. So here comes a warning to us in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, verse 12, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And verse 13, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. That sounds like our nation today. We are wealthy beyond compared to most people on earth. Our nations today, beyond compared to even most people through time. We have so much. Is our nation forgetting God? Is our nation forgetting where their blessings come from? I think you know the answer to that. We cannot forget. We can't. We cannot. Because the blessings will cease. God is the one who gives us all of these good things. And the proverb says, there's a proverb, another one, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you think that we did this, or if you think that you don't need to give as much diligence, you're in for a fall. That's Proverbs 16, verse 18. Verse 14 now of Deuteronomy 8. And when your heart is lifted up, the warning continues, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you, verse 15, through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock. How do we compare that to us? How do we compare these things, this great and terrible wilderness where fiery serpents, well, Satan and his demons. That's what I think of when I look at that. In this wilderness, the fiery serpents and scorpions. There is a thirsty land in this world. It is thirsty. There's the Spirit of God is not here, but we have the Spirit of God as God provided water for them out of the rock. And he protected them from the fiery serpents and the scorpions. God delivered us, as he did them, from bondage. Delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And delivered us from the bondage of sin. If we forget how God delivered us through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. We're starting to tread in dangerous territory. So this is really a warning for us. He is the one who gives us his Spirit. He gives us his word, which that bread from heaven that we have, that bread of life that he continues to give us in our wilderness. Verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and to test you, and to do you good in the end. He feeds us with that bread from heaven, that bread of life, takes care of us through this wilderness journey to do you good in the end, which is to bring us into his kingdom. For them, it was to bring them into the promised land. And then you say in your heart, verse 17, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. What you're doing is turning away from God in your heart. So again, a warning for all of us. And verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God is the one who gives us all these blessings, both now and into his kingdom. And then it shall be, verse 19, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And so that ends this chapter, where we can look at the wilderness wanderings of Israel and draw lessons for ourselves. That God's going to always be with us and take care of our needs, that he's going to really discipline us, and he's going to bring us into the kingdom of God. Israel's testing in the wilderness is a good lesson for us. For 40 years, a generation, really representing a lifetime, as he does test us for a lifetime in this world. Let's go to one final scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 10. I thought this was a good scripture to put a capstone on this message today. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start looking at it here in verse 35. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Therefore, after all we've read here, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, that reward that's coming. For you have need of endurance. You must hang in there, hold on, keep going, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After they endured 40 years, they could have received that promise, but most of them did not. For us, though, yet a little while, verse 37, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. That's speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. He is coming. And now, until then, until he comes, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then finally, verse 39. Now, thankfully, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. God tested them those 40 years. He perfected them, tried them, and the reason for them, as it is for us, is because he loves us. He wants to perfect us. He wants us to bring us into our promised land, the kingdom of God. Let's give glory to God, and don't slacken in our efforts. As Moses wrote, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He brought them through the wilderness to bring them to a good land. Let's give him the glory and do not slacken, because he is bringing us into the kingdom of God.